Last week, we talked about the prayer that David gave in Psalm 86, and his prayer was to incline your ear, and he used four different Hebrew words. If you look below the English words are translated God, Lord with all capitals, God, which meant Elohim, and the Lord, the small Lord, was Adonai, and he had... And then one word with God was just the L, E-L in the Hebrew. So we said he used the word, the tetragrammaton, the capital, which means the eternal, four times. Five times he used Elohim. One time he used El, and five times he addressed God as Adonai, the Lord. And so you have this prayer where he made petitions to God. It's a wonderful prayer, and we talked about his petitions last time when he says to God, incline your ear, hear me, preserve me. And you see that in verse 2, preserve me. First, verse 1 is hear me, verse 2 is preserve me. Also in verse 2 is save me. And then you come into verse 3, be merciful to me. You mean, you know, show your favor, be gracious, pity me. And so he makes these petitions, and then he says, rejoice my, you know, rejoice the soul of your servant in verse 4. This is Psalm 86 in verse 4. Make your servant's life happy again, you might say. Make your servant's life happy because, my Lord, I offer my life to you. In other words, lift up my soul, lift me up, make me happy again with all my troubles and so on. Bring me out of it. Incline your ear. And so his petitions are supplications, okay? What does it mean? What do you mean? Why are you asking God for your troubles? Doesn't God already know you're in your troubles? Doesn't he? Of course he does. Here's the great God of the universe. Let's say I don't even really know much about him, but I heard about that there's a God, and I want to pray to God. Will this God hear me? Is God able to hear you wherever you are, whatever you're in, whatever kind of words you use? If you use you call him the eternal, you call him God, you call him Lord, whatever. Does God hear you? Of course. Of course. He knows. Jesus said to his disciples, God even knows the number of hair on your head. So if God knows you so intimately, he knows your troubles, then why pray? Well, of course, you have to pray. Your prayer is your longing, your reaching out to God, okay? And David says in this great psalm, and even in the one Psalm 18, my cry came before him. It comes before God, and God acts. It comes before him, and God acts in that way. When David prays for acts of deliverance, God then helps him. Preserve my soul, he says. Save your servant. Be merciful to me. He's asking God for these various things. Now, when you look at all these petitions, you have three different petitions, okay? He prays for protection. He prays for a happy outcome, a happy issue. And then he digs deeper and prays for God's mercy. These three petitions differ, but they are, in one sense, similar. In the first two petitions, he regards himself as really defenseless. I'm in a peril. I don't know what to do. I don't have any help. I need help. But in the last petition, he thinks of himself as lowly, in one way unworthy. He needs mercy. For mercy is love shown to inferiors, isn't it? Well, I don't mean inferior as a human being. I mean people who are less powerful, less able, needy. They're needy. Mercy, okay? Shown, that's love, shown to others. Those who deserve And maybe they deserve something else. Maybe they don't deserve what you're giving them, but you're giving it to them anyhow, this mercy. So the consciousness of helplessness in our lives, okay, is a consciousness of, in a way, sin. You're conscious of sin that you need. You need your protection is when he's asking for protection, that's not all he needs. He needs pardon. He needs forgiveness. He needs to know that mercy is there for him because sin is, you know, was in him. He knows. You know you're not perfect. You're seeking the forgiveness through Jesus Christ. As a Christian, you're going to seek his forgiveness. Notice then, in all this variety of petitions for deliverance, there is not one word from David here in Psalm 86, not one word about the exact way that he's supposed to get it. The way in which God's mercy is to guard and save is left up to God. I need your mercy. You didn't tell him how you need the mercy. I need your protection. You don't tell him how you need the protection. You're asking him and you leave the pathway up to God. He chooses the way. He chooses the way he's going to answer. He chooses the time he's going to answer. He chooses everything. Now, there are two methods to lighten your burden, okay? If you have a burden, there are two ways you can lighten it. One is somebody takes the burden and diminishes the load. They take the weight off you, and you don't have so much of a burden. That's one way. The other way is to strengthen the person carrying the burden, right? So the Apostle Paul, for instance, I mean, God gave him something to strengthen his burden. Paul said, for this thing, he had this thorn in the flesh, he called it in the book of Corinthians, thorn in the flesh that troubled him. He besought the Lord three times. And what was God's answer to him? God gave him an answer. God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace. So you can either get God's help and strengthen you, or God can remove some of the burden. If you got stronger, you can handle the burden. Okay? Then in the final petition, he asks for gladness. Rejoice the soul of your servant. Okay? And in Psalm 51, you remember when he was praying after the issue of Bathsheba, and when Nathan came to him, the prophet there, and said, you know, you're the one, you're the man, you sinned. Then David prays in Psalm 51. But notice verse 8 in Psalm 51, he says, make me to hear the joy and gladness, that the bones which you have broken may rejoice. I feel broken down now. You have come to me. You've told me how I've sinned. I feel broken down. Make me to hear joy and gladness. See, and here the psalm seeks joy, but not from the pleasures of the earth, not from the pleasures of the world, but from God himself. The source of his joy will be coming from God himself to us. That's how we pray. That's our petition. Sometimes when we find deliverance from God, we are tempted to find pleasure somewhere else. Oh, wow, God delivered me. Okay, I want to rejoice. So maybe I'll go to a bar. Maybe I'll go out here. Maybe I'll go to a movie. Maybe I'll do this. We want to rejoice in other things rather than rejoicing in God. Okay? So when he says, preserve me and save me, okay, That is undistracted love to choose God as our delight. Preserve me, save me. God is our delight. The true devout heart then turns to God for all its needs and in prayer. Look at Psalm 43. Psalm 43 is a prayer. You see almost depression here. But listen to the way he talks. Psalm 43, beginning in verse 1. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. Now, this is all the Psalms were written under David or come on into the canon under David. But this Psalm is not under David. It's a different Psalm. But notice he's saying, vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? You know, there are times in life you feel like maybe God is not doesn't want to do it, doesn't want to answer. You feel like you're rejected. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning, crying because of the oppression of the enemy? Everybody's on me. You might have felt that way if you've been. I just talked to a client yesterday, and she's in a job where they're demanding. They now come in with a timer, and she's supposed to be a customer service representative, and she has to take so many calls. They're timing her on her phone and on her the part of the computer, and she's gotten a warning, one verbal warning, and now she's gotten a written warning, and now she's getting a letter saying pending termination if she doesn't get her time up. Now, here's what she's supposed to do. She's supposed to answer the questions. She's supposed to be nice and polite. She's supposed to let the people talk if they want to talk. She's supposed to do this, but she's supposed to watch the time, try to cut them off. She has to answer so many calls within a certain amount of time. She's the only breadwinner for herself. She lives alone. She has the job. She has to pay all the bills. She has to pay her rent. If she loses this job, she's too young to go on Social Security. And if she loses this job, she'll be 62 soon, but she will not get enough on Social Security to live. She has to get another job. And jobs are scarce. And she's got a good job, and she wants to hold on to it. She's been there 24 years, and now is in danger because of the pressures of this thing. And she feels like she's oppressed from every side. I've got to do a good job. I've got to please the customer. If the customer hangs up and complains that I didn't talk to her enough, that I didn't answer her questions thoroughly, then I get in trouble. But on the other hand, I'm going to get in trouble if I stay online too long and I'm not getting enough customers in the time I have. This is just stress. She was crying in my office. I don't know what I'm going to do. I said, you can't. And a disability, if she goes on disability, it won't pay enough for her to meet her bills. So people feel like, you know, you've rejected me. Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, El. Now, all through here, he's calling him God, okay? And that's the Hebrew word beneath the translation here. It's the Hebrew word Elohim, okay? He's calling him Elohim, God, which is a typical word for God, and it's in a plural for God's majesty, and sometimes it's used in a plural way too. Then I will go to the altar of God, Elohim, to God, El, my exceeding joy. God is my exceeding joy. And upon the lyre, I shall praise you. Playing an instrument. O God, Elohim, my Elohim. Why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you disturbed within me? Hope in Elohim. What brings you out of despair? Hope. If you have hope in God, if you can believe in God, if you can trust in God, he says, hope in God, for I shall again praise him. The help of my countenance and my God. The help of my countenance and my God. I'm going to get the help from being a cheerful, more cheerful face, and I'm going to get help from my Elohim. Now, nowhere in this psalm, Psalm 43, do you see the famous tetragrammaton, the YHWH. He's praying to God, praying a very effective prayer, and yet there's no YHWH in this psalm, nor I believe in psalm, the next psalm after that, Psalm 44. So when you cry out to God and you're sincere and you believe in God, now you and I, we cry out to God through whom? Jesus said, you know, I'll answer it, you know. So prayer, the logic of prayer here is remarkable. Every feature of the psalmist's condition is what he knows of God, okay? And he becomes a reason with God for granting his prayer. He, thank you, God, for granting it. At the same time, the use of faith. Now, you have to be pretty humble. Faith that doesn't diminish. Do you remember the Syrophoenician woman who came to Jesus? Okay, and she was asking Jesus for her daughter, for, you know, and Jesus said, it's not right to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Remember that state, that old thing? Now, a lot of people, we have such pride today. Oh, you call me a dog, you call my generation, you call my race a dog. Well, you're no good. What kind of person are you? But Jesus said it. It's not fitting for me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. I'm here for the children of Israel. I'm here for the Jewish nation. I'm not here for everybody else right now. And what does she do? What does she do? She says, I know, Lord. I know. But even the dogs can eat from the crumbs. I'm not asking for the whole food, but the crumbs that fall from the children's table. Jesus was so impressed with that. He said, oh, woman, you know, I've not seen this kind of faith. Your petition is granted. Okay. You plead your necessities. You plead because you're poor and needy. You plead because you may be afflicted and poor. You're borne down. You're worn down. You're out of energy. You're out of things. The circumstances carry you. Your character has to be there, and you have to be humble. Yes, God's mercy is emboldened by our weakness, by our helplessness, by our pleas to him. What did Paul say? He said, when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, even Alcoholics Anonymous, what is the very first, what do they call the step, the first step of Alcoholics Anonymous? It's we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol. We don't have any power. and that our lives had become unmanageable. And then we start to cast ourselves on to God as we know him to deliver us from this. We're powerless. Well, when you're powerless, when you're helpless, when we know, as we so often do, and the sight of misery that has touched the heart when Jesus was on earth, that touched the heart of Jesus. When that woman said, "I know, Lord, but even the dogs eat from the crumbs that fall from the children's table," he was moved with that compassion. She didn't present herself as, "Oh, what are you talking about? We're not dogs. Where I come, you know." And she didn't do that. He was moved. Sometimes our weaknesses, our helplessness, are the thing that moves God the soonest. When we draw near to God's throne, we don't need to come and present how great. You remember how the Pharisee prayed? Here's how the Pharisee, remember Jesus talked about the two men who prayed? And the Pharisee came and prayed, "Oh Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like other men. I give tithes of all I possess. I regularly do this. I fast twice a week. I'm this and that. And I'm not like that guy over there." You don't need to present our merits. We don't need to present all of our, resume of righteousness before God. That's not going to get us where we want to go. What did the other guy say? "God, be merciful to me." He uses the definite article, "the" in the Greek, "the sinner," not a sinner. Not "I'm one of many." Well, I'm sort of like a lot of people. Well, you know, nobody's perfect. No, he said, "the sinner." And so in many of the Psalms, "Lord, save us or we'll perish. Save me or I'm going to die. Save me. I'm weak. I can't make it. Save me." And you'll find the hand that never sleeps, God's hand. Don't let our consciousness of evil drive us from him either. What does the devil want you to do? The devil's biggest lie, and it happens every Passover. I have to deal with it almost every year. Somebody will come and say, "Well, I don't think I'm worthy." The devil's biggest lie is that you are too bad to go to God. You're just not good enough to come before God. You're just not righteous enough. You just don't have the right words to go to God. You're just not right. You got to do something else. Okay. The truth is that our necessities, yes, and sometimes our sins too, may be made as pleas, P-L-E-A-S, not P-L-E-A-S-E. Please, God, plead. I'm pleading with you, a plea to God. "Pardon my iniquity, David said in Psalm 25, verse 11, "for it is very great. Pardon my iniquity." David pleads with God. He pleads his relationship to God and his longing for commitment and communion with God. He wants to be close to God. Now, in that Psalm 86, he says something like, "I'm holy. I am holy." That sounded strange. It sounds strange to say that. What he means is, I am pious. The Hebrew, the King James said, "I am holy," but it meant I'm in a covenant relationship with you. I am pious. I am dedicated to you. Okay? That's the only merit he throws out here. Okay? These are the people who are faithful, people who are devoted to God's service. Okay? Not entirely, okay? But you'll see, we're trying to do our best. I am in a relationship with you. The plea then is drawn not from our righteousness, but from God's mercy. Because I'm in a relationship with you, I'm asking for your mercy. That's what you say to God. Okay? Then follows the relationship, okay, from the human side. Your servant trusts in you. I trust in you. Okay? The slave is cared for by his Lord. We are servants, slaves of God. It's one of the great privileges. People don't often think of this, but to be God's slave. Paul, a slave of God. He always starts his things, and nice translations always try to avoid the word slave. They will always say, Paul, a servant of God and Jesus Christ, okay, to the church of God here. But the word really means a doulos, a slave, a person that's committed to God, okay? The slave is cared for by his Lord. We do not plead our faith as a constituent claim or a merit before God. It is not that we deserve deliverance, else we might then demand it. We plead for it. We're asking for a favor. Okay? In verses 2 through 5 of that Psalm 86, you'll see the pleas. Okay, let me give you the pleas. Here it is. I'm reading Psalm 86, verses 2 through 5 in the New American Standard Version. Preserve my soul, for I am a godly man. Instead of holy, it means pious. I'm a pious man. O you, my God, save your servant. So it's plead, you know, preserve my soul, save your servant. Be gracious to me. There's another one. O Adonai. For to you I cry all day long. Make glad, there's another plea, the soul of your servant. For to you, O Adonai, O Lord, it's in lower cap, lower levels, capital L, but all lowercase. I lift my soul. For you, O you, Adonai, are good and, you know, and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness. Give ear, O Eternal, the YHWH, to my prayer, and give heed to the voice of my supplications. So you'll see in verses 2 through 5, plea after plea after plea. Jesus said, what man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? And then he asks another one, you know, if he asks for this, will he give him a snake and so on? How much, and then he says in verse 11, this is Matthew 7, verse, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You can just virtually count on it. God is either going to give you strength to handle it, or he's going to lighten the load. He's going to come to your aid if you have faith, humility, you're pleading and you're asking and repenting of your sins and asking for forgiveness. And finally, because of our necessities and our desires, they derive their force as pleas from God's own character. Okay, we saw that. All the words there, his character, he urges that our last and mightiest appeals are based on who God is. God is eternal, so we can always count on him. God is Lord over everything, so he has all the power that we need. God is our God, our Elohim, our God, and my God. He's my God. Okay, and if we read verses 10 through 17, you'll see here, for you are great. This is how God is. Listen, I'm reading Psalm 86 again. For you are great and do wondrous deeds. You alone are Elohim. There are no other gods. You alone are God. You use the word gods for these other people, but they're not gods. You alone are God. Teach me your ways, O Eternal. That's a YHWH. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. To fear the name of God, because you know how powerful God is. You know he's everlasting. He's from beginning to end, and he's never is here. He was here yesterday, today, and forever. And unite my heart to do this. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, O Adonai, my God, my Elohim, for with all my heart, and will glorify your name forever, for all who he is, his name. For your loving kindness, his name is who he is. It's his character. That's what you're calling on when you call on God. For your loving kindness toward me is great, and you have delivered my soul from depths of Sheol. O Elohim, O God, arrogant men have risen up against me, and a band of violent men have sought my life, and they have set out, to hurt me. You know, they set out and have not set you before them. They don't care about you. They just want to hurt me. But you, O God, O Lord, O Adonai, are a God. You are a God, merciful. What is God's characteristics? What about his name? He's merciful and gracious and slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. That encompasses all of who God is. He's abundant in loving kindness and truth. Turn to me. Be gracious to me. Oh, grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your handmaid. Show me a sign for good, that those who hate me may see it and be ashamed, because you, O Eternal, O Lord, everlasting, have helped me and comforted me. So here are the pleas. Here are the ways. Okay? He began with an invocation, and he ends as he began. The name of God is the ground of all our hope and the motive for all his mercy. Our hope is in what God is. Remember, gracious, loving kindness, abundant in mercy. Okay? That's our hope. It is also what activates God. You're reminding him of who he is, what he is. Our need, then, is the occasion. Faith and desire is the channel. We need God. That's the reason we're calling. Faith and desire, that's the channel. But God is the reason and the source of all our deliverance and all our salvation. In Hebrews 6, verse 13, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. That's what it says. That's who he is. All these great things. And because we can pray by no other, we implore him by himself. For the sake of his own holy name, because he is that he is, and to have mercy upon all of us who cry to him, we ask that our prayers be heard in the name of Jesus Christ. We are taking no other plea into our lips that the ancient and all the prevalent one of the psalm. It is his own mercy in Christ that we present. If you're a Christian, that's how you have to come to God. You're presenting his mercy in Christ. What did he do for us? What did he do for us? If God was not willing to spare his own son, what would he withhold from us? If he was willing to give his son for our sins, what else would he stop? You need this, you need that. Why would he withhold anything else? Yes, it is his own mercy in Christ. Okay? It is the work of his own love that brings us to our knees and to our plea. In Psalm 22, verse 22, I will declare your name to my brothers, my brethren. And you want to tell other people who God is. What is he? He's this merciful God. Who is Jesus Christ? He is our Savior. He is the reflection of this God of the Old Testament, of all his loving kindness, his mercy, his truth forever and ever. Christ is the revelation of the Father's name. And they who pray in the name of Christ have their confidence in this promise. Here's Jesus' statement, John 14, verse 13. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified. He doesn't do it for his glory. He does it for the Father's glory, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's John 14, verse 13. And then he also said this in John 16, verse 23. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. In the name of Jesus. You remember when the disciples went up, and they went up to the temple and they healed this man, and people said, how did you heal him? How did you save this man? How did you save him? And the disciples, Peter and John, said, there's only one name given under heaven whereby men may be saved. And what did they say? This man could not walk. We don't have any silver. We don't have any gold. I wish we had a few shekels to give to you. I wish we had some money to give to you. But such as we have, we will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. And this man was returned. And then they started to say, How did this man get healed? How did this man get saved? And they said, there's only one name given under heaven whereby men may be saved or healed, the way it could be healed. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. And that's the name through which we pray each and every day. Join me as we pray in that name, thanking God for his blessings, praying for those who are bereaved and those who are suffering and those who are weak and needing God's help. Father in heaven, as we come before your wonderful and omnipotent throne, knowing all who you are, knowing what you are, knowing everything that you stand for, a great and merciful God, a God of everlasting power and length and strength, you are from age to age the same. And we know, Father, that you have manifested yourself through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You sent him to die for our sins. And that be giving us Jesus, you can't hold, you will not withhold any other thing. Not that is if it's good for us. You know each and every one of us. You know us thoroughly, more than we even know ourselves. And you know what we need, and you know when we need it, and you know how we need it. So, Father, we come before you asking that you will strengthen the faith of your people, strengthen their belief in you, strengthen their relationship with you, so that their prayers may be satisfactory and their pleas may come to your ears. You will incline your ear and you will give what they need. We know and we trust you, and we trust in the only name given under heaven whereby we may be saved and healed. And that is the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray today. Amen.